Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 475. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, sir?
Not a heck of a lot. Just got off the phone with the Gainesville, Georgia Police Department to report a home invasion that was going on. So the police will be there shortly, so Navy Styles can fret no more.
You know, I guess I did not mind the personal tone of this feud once things moved along to stretching over a number of events now. Is this going to be the third event that they've wrestled at?
Yes, it will be.
So, you know, it went from weird when it started to okay. But, yeah, this part always is a little bit strange when they go for real criminal acts. I always think of Randy Orton's home invasion of Triple H. Wasn't that what that was?
Yeah, Triple H invaded Randy Orton's home.
Oh, okay.
That's when he threw him through his own front window, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I had them flip-flop there, but yeah, you know, when they swerve into the real crime part, it's always a little head-scratching.
I mean, maybe he's just there to talk at 10 p.m. on a Tuesday. The whole thing has been, I'm not saying it hasn't all been cheesy. It's just that Joe's delivery is just so chillingly evil. He's so good at this whole thing. Even including tonight. I mean, it just wasn't a wrestling show. It just was the type of show where I guess you go there. Where it would be really good stuff. Joe is a good actor. He really, really, really is.
I think everyone involved has done a good job. Like, Samoa Joe, he's great. Like, he just sells being a creep and being a sleazebag. And he kind of knows what he's doing, and he really kind of drags on AJ Styles at every chance that he gets. And that's what sells it, but yeah, it's kind of weird. Again, there's a real home invasion that's going to happen, possibly.
He did hit the doorbell.
Oh yeah.
Presumably, Wendy is going to answer the door, and well, I don't know what's going to happen. They got to be really careful about how they explain that nothing happened during the course of next week's show, because you know we're not going there.
I would imagine that it is just her seeing him and slamming the door in his face and him just laughing or something like that. Because that would at least literally shut the door on what may have happened there.
Yeah. Although the fact that it will probably take a week for us to find out what happened is a little silly. The second AJ Styles got back from the ring, he should have called his local police department and gotten far over there.
Yeah,
Paige really needs to fire whoever on the production department inspired with Samoa Joe to get his live cell phone footage on the big screen like that. And into the actual broadcast.
Oh, man. That's kind of hilarious. I guess I didn't think about that.
He FaceTimed into the show.
And she just let it happen.
Well, she was in the ring. She was not backstage. Yeah, it's cheesy, but once again, as I said, you know, was really good.
Oh, right.
It's really not going to hurt. I don't think it won't hurt the match on, you know, at Super Showdown. I'm sure they'll have another strong match. This one will actually have a conclusive finish. Whether Joe takes the title or AJ Styles beats Samoa Joe and moves on. At this point, I do feel like AJ's got to get that big win. I guess you can drag it out, but I'm feeling they're going to keep the title in AJ Styles. But they got, once you go here, AJ really needs to, you know, man up and defend his family.
Yeah, I think that's kind of been a common theme. We thought that might happen in the last match, but because they're stretching it to Super Showdown, they are, going a little lengthy on it. Oh, okay. I'm trying to catch up on Impact Wrestling as we record this, and I forgot that I missed like half an hour of the first show when we started setting this to record again. It should be a good match. I don't think, Styles needs the win. It would be so ridiculous for him to have this much harassment of his family, and then be the guy that loses.
Yeah, I mean, I like
the chances, or I would love, and I guess I would not have a problem with a heel champion Samoa Joe. But this just doesn't seem like the right time.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I mean, you could still go there, but AJ definitely has to get his win later, and you're already also in the same show, setting up the next challenger as well.
Oh.
So yeah, I'm definitely leaning towards an AJ title retention here, which is fine. Good. I mean, AJ's been a good champion. He's coming up on a year. So if you don't want to take it from him, just south of that, I understand the reasons why. And then of course you got the winner of Brian Miz waiting in the wings. He could, do that match, over the next, Saudi Arabia and Survivor Series, and TLC even in December. Depending on where they're going, if everything, in the, once again, the two November pay-per-views that they're going to be occurring. Lots of time to get these matches in. Also time to get another AJ Styles Samoa Joe match in if they really wanted to, especially if Joe does take the title. But I think we're both thinking, AJ's keeping it.
Oh, right. Yeah, and I guess that if AJ keeps it, they really set up Daniel Bryan to have himself cheated against in this upcoming match with The Miz. 'Cause they really hammered home the cheating aspect of The Miz.
They did do that. They absolutely did that. Saying that Daniel Bryan won't do everything it takes. He won't cheat to beat The Miz, and then he needs to cheat to beat The Miz. This whole feud's been really, really good. It has, brought the best out of, I think, both guys. I would not be opposed to a Miz championship run at this point, especially if it does lead to Daniel Bryan, finally overcoming the Miz for the title at WrestleMania. That is a direction they could absolutely go in. Of course, they can also have Bryan just beat Miz in Australia and challenge AJ Styles with Samoa Joe next. They could do that. They can cut it off here, but there's definitely. they got something with this feud. It has, you know, it's been excellent. You know, it's, yeah, it's a, they can go either way with it. They can cut it off and have Brian go on to bigger and better things, or they could have Miz win and kind of put it on ice for a little while before finally having, going back to it, and having Brian, you know, finally score his big.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see which way they go. Either way, they have stories going both ways. I mean, who wouldn't want to see a Daniel Bryan AJ Styles match? Like, yeah, sure, sign me up.
Right, yeah.
And I definitely think that they could sell the mutual respect angle of things and still get a feud over without having to go to the lengths that Samoa Joe has had to go here.
Yeah, that would be a change of pace of a feud for AJ Styles after, you know, long, drawn out, you know, with, you know, real, you know, solid heels and, you know, and sneak attacks and personal issues that he's had really since Nakamura. He's, you know, him and Nakamura, they got four papers out of that thing. And now Joe's going on three. So, yeah, I mean, something you definitely get a pay-per-view or two out of AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, dude, for the championship based on respect and for the thrill of competition for the, and the glory of the championship. That would be excellent. Also, you know, Miz, the cowardly cheating heel going for the title as well. against the dominant champion AJ Styles. That's a dominant babyface champion AJ Styles. You could definitely go there as well. They really can't lose with either option they choose.
Agreed. Yeah.
And although you can also throw in the fact that they could sell, if Joe were to win, you could easily do Joe versus Daniel Bryan. Joe versus Miz, not so much.
Yeah, that would be pretty awkward. You can have that happen from time to time, but to have that as a full blown feud might get a little strange. Well, I guess speaking of strange, I've got to admit, one thing that interested me was Randy Orton's attack of Ty Dillinger. That, to me, was something that I did not see coming.
I did not see that coming. That came way out of left field as our oftentimes co-anchor on Stunt Granny and regular co-host of We Washed Up, Shahid Abdul-Hadid, pointed out in a post on Facebook. Randy Orton's working his way down the roster, apparently, but he did say that Ty Dillinger is not his next victim. The whole, I did like that with Randy Orton's curmudgeon character, that grumpy old convention character, the whole Perfect 10 thing just makes him angry. So that's why you attack Ty Dillinger.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a way to get out of that match. And it is the second time that Randy Orton has jumped in a match involving Nakamura. Or multiple times that he, considering it was all with Jeff Hardy.
Oh, right.
That Nakamura was in the ring when Randy Orton attacked. I don't know if that's going to be become an issue down the line. Very well could.
That was the other thing. Like, Nakamura keeps on doing stuff to really be a dick. And his Kinshasa to Ty Dillinger after the Randy Orton attack is just one of those hilariously unnecessary things to do.
It really was. No, Nakamura was really good there. Nakamura's been a really good heel. Although, since winning the U.S. title, he really has... He's had his moments, but he has not had his own story at all. we're talking about the middle of summer now. He was essentially used as a plot device in the Randy Orton Jeff Hardy story, and now Randy Orton jumped in on another match of his. Not that Ty Dillinger's in a position to, you know, go for the United States Championship at this point. I just kind of hope he's not. I don't like him when they do that. Just out of nowhere, just decide to pull somebody up from the undercard and just have them go after a title. Never really works with me.
Right.
So hopefully Nakamura will have more of a direction going forward.
Yeah.
Because right now it's going to be the second pay-per-view in a row. No, that's only two part. The second pay-per-view in a row he's not scheduled for.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Like, they really seem to have gotten him comfortable in his role, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're kind of out of material for you right now. And it's a little bit of a shame. It would be interesting, I guess. Randy Orton is one of those guys that he can kind of swing either way as far as who he fights. Because I would say that he was taking on more of a baby face. He was taking on a baby face in Jeff Hardy, but I can definitely see him swinging around to fight someone like Shinsuke Nakamura. Just, he's kind of in that John Cena spot where he can kind of, work both directions, and fans are going to both boo and cheer him.
Yeah, but he's just been so evil since returning. Yeah, so it is a weird thing, because he's not in a position to be looked at as in any way a babyface. He's just been vicious and brutal, and he's directing most of it is venom at baby faces. Yeah, it's a whole weird thing. I do feel like there is going to be a storyline connection with Orton and Nakamura. I'm just not sure where it's going to come into play, but I mean, I'm intrigued by it all. I don't know who is really Randy Orton's next target. We don't know yet, and when is Nakamura going to get himself an actual feud of his own of some worth to be in?
Yeah, he definitely deserves it because somehow, if you either follow our Twitter or follow the show at all. I mentioned that photo shoot that Nakamura had for WWE.com with him in the U.S. flag. That thing was brilliant. I mean, it is one of the funnier things I have seen recently.
Yeah, that was really, really good. Although, once again, they're not going in that direction with him on TV, though. He really should do the American flag gear all pimped out on TV. Yeah, they really should go all the way with it on TV. Yeah, I think that's really amusing. It'll be really good for Nakamura's character, the whole United States and Nakamura gimmick. That was really good. I think that the TV side of things is really missing out on that. Really playing that up to the hilt.
Yeah, I think it would get a great reaction. Especially for a heel Nakamura. Like I only think it helps cement his character along with his dick actions, like kicking Ty Dillinger while he's down. I guess in other SmackDown news, we have Sheamus and Cesaro finally getting back on track here, but they find themselves against a familiar foe.
Yeah, we're going back 2 years in the history of both these teams to bring this feud back. It's fine. It's always good stuff. Once again, I don't know how planned out a New Day title reign was because of the surgery to Eric Rowan. So they've had to, you know, kind of make some do here and kind of think on the fly. They would deal with Kate English and Rusev, out of the way for the LSL. We'll talk about them, I'm sure, probably next. New Day and The Bar are, they're always good for tag team matches. Last week's Kofi Cesaro singles match was solid, as was this week's singles match between Sheamus and Big E. Sheamus, The Bar getting back-to-back singles victories, heading into the tag title match at Super Showdown. No, it's all good stuff.
It's been something that, it's just worked for them. And that's why, you kind of alluded to it, because I guess there isn't that much to say about that feud, honestly. The Aiden English, Rusev stuff, I thought that was going to be pretty cut and dry, but it is not cut and dry anymore.
No, they took that in the direction I was not expecting at all. No, but you know what? It's better than Rusev just squashing Aiden English one week and just moving. Where it goes, we'll see. But it definitely is better than just having Rusev squash the guy and move on. And depending on where it goes, with Aiden English making, alluding to a possible affair, but saying that, tell Rusev about that night in Milwaukee. A lot of act like she, or maybe truly, being, shocked about what is he talking about. It was good for what it was, and then the fact that they didn't just leave it there for the rest of the night. They interwove Becky Lynch into it, giving her new character some really good lines to throw at Lana, adding in the element of Rusev, being a little, being somewhat, curious about what Aiden English is talking about while trying to, believe his wife. And then Aiden English saying that he has video proof that he will show next week. It's something to do with these guys. It's a way to, use Aiden English, and it was a hook for next week.
It was really strange that Milwaukee became a chant in Denver.
That did happen, yes.
It's just the team has worked together and they're working something of a personal angle again, and it seems to have people hooked in. People seem to love the breakup story.
Yeah, but unfortunately in wrestling, breakup stories tend to become real life, so Rusev and Lana certainly have to be very careful about where they tread here.
That was pretty astute of Lance Storm mentioning the old Randy Savage line, which is, I had an angle with my wife once, I ain't got no wife no more. was his advice to Lance Storm.
Yeah, Lance has told that story before. Even though, at the time he wasn't doing anything involving his wife never did or never would be involved, but Lance had always speculated that he used him with Chris Candido, who was bringing his wife into the business with him, and that did not end well for him either, or her, or anybody in their orbit.
No, not at all. And, that's it. There have been a lot of bad things to happen. Now, I do think that we're in a little bit different of a time, a little bit different of an era, I would say. But there is still a chance that these things occur. But I would figure with Lana being on, what is that, Total Divas, that their lives are pretty well documented.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that Rusev doesn't really have anything to worry about. But hey, let's play it up for an angle. It's... I guess it's a card to play. And like you said, it everyone would have expected English to get squashed otherwise.
Yeah, no, it's the way that... Well, at least we're dragging that part out. Still don't think that they're going to let Aiden English get even a single victory over Rusev in one-on-one competition moving forward. But this is, it's an interesting way to take the whole story and drag the whole thing out. So that maybe, hopefully, once it's all said and done, he doesn't go spiraling down to main event with Zack Ryder and Mike Kanellis.
Oh man, I don't think those two do other shows, but I don't know who else does the show with them. There's got to be some type of turnover in there, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I think they throw Motorola in there nowadays.
Oh,
they only do two matches on the entire show, so it's not.
A lot. Two matches, you still need more than two people involved.
Right. I don't know. I've been looking at that. I still revolve past my Twitter feed every once in a while. It feels like Zack Ryder and Mike Nelson have been wrestling each other every week for at least last month. Main event available on Hulu, everybody. All new episodes every week. We were so confused about that a couple of weeks ago, but yeah. You too can watch this the thrilling Mike Kanellis Zack Ryder feud.
Yeah, so thrilling it hasn't gotten to TV yet. Oh man. Well, and I guess that is one since we are talking about Lana. We can end with the one woman that did give her an L in competition, and also is really nailing down, at least as best she can, her heel credentials, Becky Lynch.
Yeah, Becky was quite tremendous all night. I mean, the attack on Charlotte, making the photographer stand there and while she trash talks her, and the guy is still clicking away the whole time until she finally puts one foot on Charlotte and does her victory pose with the championship. That was really good. I mean, her interaction with Lana later was really good. And then, she just kind of squashed her in matches, which is what she should have done. So, good stuff for Becky Lynch as we head into the Charlotte-Becky match at Super Showdown, which... will, I assume, have some kind of a finish that will allow the feud to continue on to WWE Evolution. Because there's no reason to cut it off after two pay-per-views, even though there's three pay-per-views within 6 weeks.
Well, that's part of the reason to extend it to three pay-per-views is because it's only a 6 week time period. expect all
and
kinds
of... And for
the
men, it's 4 and 7. Or no, wait, 3 and 7. It's still 3 and 7.
Yeah.
It's not as bad for them.
Yeah, there is a lot of TV and pay-per-view time to fill.
There is indeed.
Man, I still can't believe how far behind I am on stuff, and I can't catch up on other stuff. Becky's just been tremendous. She was even really good. I listened to her on the Lillian Garcia podcast. She carried over her character for at least a half of that show until they started talking about the Marine Six. And then that pretense went out the window. But, yeah, she's just, she's done a really good job. I guess I never thought that she was too nice, as they've labeled it. But there is something that the crowd loves even more about her badass streak now.
They do. I mean, there wasn't anybody booing after the attack on Charlotte. They were chanting for Becky after that whole thing was done. So no. I mean, once again, if they thought that having Becky, handing up the heel antics was going to get her finally going to get her booed, nope, that's not what's happening here at all. So well, let's keep moving forward with this, and it'll be what it'll be, and people will cheer for whoever they want. Meanwhile, Charlotte and Becky still have, strong chemistry with each other in the ring. They're able to cut good promos on each other. This is a really good thing. So I'm definitely looking forward to it continuing, even if the heel face psychology is just still completely off.
Right. What are you going to do in that department? I feel like that's one of our main complaints of the WWE product, is that roles are reversed. But, I guess we can reverse roles of shows here and go from SmackDown over to Raw, finally. And I'm really trying to remember what was the big thing that happened on Raw.
Well, the big thing that happened on Raw was the attempt by Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, and Drew McIntyre to get Dean Ambrose to turn against the Shield.
And they really did do a good job of playing up Dean Ambrose being disgruntled, or possibly disgruntled, the whole show, honestly.
Yeah, he didn't really say anything the whole show. He kind of listened to whatever it had to say. He did not look happy. I mean, even before the three of them came out, I mean, I didn't really pay that close enough attention to it, but there is a gif out there of the moment where Seth and Roman both raise their championships over their head, and there's Dean just in the middle, just kind of standing backwards, like, looking, and I act about the whole thing, like, once again, the way that the beats that they're hitting are really, really good here, with the talk about, they have championships, you don't, what do you get out of all this, and then later the hit line about how, it's not like Seth Rollins has ever turned against you before.
That is an easy card to pull out. Since obviously it has happened. but I guess it'd be one of those things to me that I'd be pretty surprised had they split up the Shield.
Yeah, no, they were not going to do that on week one of this whole thing. Obviously, they've got a story they want to tell. It's at least going to get them through Super Showdown, but I'm sure it'll last for longer than that too. They also did the attempt of the turnaround on them by having Rollins confront Drew McIntyre about being used and what are you doing? But then of course that's when McIntyre then took that and turned that around on Ambrose. So at least for now, acting like that, the words of Rollins didn't have any effect on him. Although, of course, down the line, this whole McIntyre-Ziggler tandem is designed to eventually implode and have McIntyre, have a huge star out of it. But I don't think we're not there yet. We're not there yet either.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a tag team. I would imagine that sometime within their reign, they either end up someone boots someone accidentally and things, you know, roll on from there. Or, you know, they just beat, you know, someone beats them and they implode because of that. Like, there really aren't a whole lot of storylines to break up a tag team, but I'm trying to think of who else. The tag team division on Raw, unlike that of SmackDown, is pretty rough. Like, even when Rowan went down, they could pull from New Day, the Usos, if they needed to, I think. Unless one of them's hurt, that I'm not aware of.
I think, right now, it's just... I think they know that they can't go to the New Day Usos well again anytime soon.
I guess more my point was, Raw doesn't have as many tag teams to pull from as far as who to bring up to face... Because that's the only problem with McIntyre and Ziggler is I'm not sure who's around to really fight them. Like, Gable and Rude are just kind of becoming a thing. AOP, they're putting them in places now, which is kind of part of the main event talk, I guess, too. But and they're not really... That would be really weird to have a heel-on-heel situation on Raw. Like, they don't really have any challengers for now, except for the Shield.
No, they really don't. But, you know, of course, at Super Showdown, it's a six-man. I doubt they're gonna... I don't know what they're gonna run at Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia, you know, 4 weeks later, and then Survivor Series. I don't know exactly what the theme of Survivor Series is gonna be. They haven't made any moves towards saying it's going to be Raw versus SmackDown, but if it is, then they could get, you know, if it's Raw versus SmackDown, then you do McIntyre and Ziggler versus New Day, then, pretty much. If it's not, then you give them a challengers, or you put them in a team elimination match against other people on Raw. So, once again, it's a thing where, I mean, maybe it's not as big of a deal, because you really don't have to have challengers set up. Because I believe that, you know, a big chunk of Crown Jewel is going to be made up of what they're calling a World Cup tournament.
Oh, yeah, they have mentioned this this happening.
Yeah, so that means one wrestler represents every country, or, you know, every country has a representative. Obviously, you could put Jew in that, representing Scotland, you know.
Right.
So you don't need to have a tag team title defense at that show. Plus, it's going to set that, you know, a tournament covers at least, you know, seven matches on a show if it's eight guys.
Oh, right. Yeah, so, which is a lot of matches.
Yeah, it's a lot of matches. So they don't have to lose that. I think as we made the point last week, they don't have to send a 75-man roster this time. They can just make a bunch of people wrestle two or three times.
Oh. Yeah, they do need to fly less people over. I would imagine there is going to be some filler in between some of these matches.
Right, yeah. I'm sure there will be. But as I said, you know, right now, I think coming up with new challengers, to get back into original point for Ziggler and McIntyre is probably not, doesn't necessarily have to be a big priority. They can still do more matches with Ambrose and Rollins down the line too. Because I don't think because I don't think this whole Ambrose story is going to, you know, if he actually is going to turn, I don't think it'll happen at Super Showdown either. I think that this is, you know, planting some seeds for down the line if it ever happens.
Yeah, but, I mean,
if they're saying Ambrose, though, maybe it won't be Ambrose, but then it can't be Seth again, and they've been so resistant to turning Roman that I don't think it would be Roman either, so maybe there just won't be a turn at all because they're bringing it up.
Well, yeah, and there is, to me, that's pretty easy to go that route. No turn at all, and just have them split up again. Like, I mean, they were all three out there and kind of doing their own thing. And no one, well, actually, Dean and Seth were kind of buddies on screen, but Roman was kind of not in the picture. So, I mean, they can keep them apart. Of course, it really helps to be on different shows. but that probably won't happen for a while, I would imagine.
But yeah, I do think holiday shopping season.
I do think that it would benefit Dean Ambrose to move to SmackDown, honestly. just in general. Just because I see no reason why those guys shouldn't be on top. And AJ Styles or anyone else kind of in the main event area over on SmackDown could use a fresh opponent. I guess to get back to the point, yeah, I don't really see Ambrose turning on them anytime soon. If like you said, if it does even happen, they could just go their separate ways and that's that. So yeah, I mean, that did really take up a good chunk of the show, but it was one of those times finally where it was compelling and they kept on changing the characters who were, involved in it too. And it was kind of interesting, or maybe not so interesting, that, both Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns stayed out of the situation altogether.
Yeah, they really didn't have much to say about it. Well, no, you know, Braun said his piece about Ambrose joining them. He did. I mean, but, you know, the backstage segments, it was about, you know, Seth was really the driving force behind the, you know, the backstage segments. And Dolph as well. So, they kind of put Reigns and Strowman out of it after the beginning. And then, you know, then of course everyone was out there for the main event. Which, you know, did not erupt in a big brawl, and after it was all said and done, Ambrose did, you know, pledge solidarity to the Shield for now.
Yeah, they did even milk that out a little bit by having, I mean, they really worked it out well to have Dean Ambrose on the outside.
Right.
And have Rollins and Reigns be able to celebrate in the ring together. So, I mean, even that little touch, like, I mean, they really went to the end to tease Ambrose not staying with them. And,
right.
Again, they did a good job of at least trying to sell it. I guess I was not in fear that that would happen too much personally, but, you know, I can understand how well they tried to get you to bite.
Right. Yeah, no, it was really well done. Yeah, you know, series of scenes on the show. Show long storyline is always a good thing to have, something of a hook, you know, to keep people tuned in and keep people wanting to, you know, come back next week. That's always good. That's always good stuff. You know, it was well done.
And I'm trying to think of the other big things on Raw. Well, and I guess there is. To me, the Authors of Pain are kind of an elephant in the room. They really don't have much of anywhere to go with those guys with competition, but they kind of clearly deserve to be champs, but that is not happening with McIntyre and Ziggler.
Yeah, that was kind of... I saw it coming that they would be the partners for Corbin. I think that they did, once again, that they did a good job. They look like they belong. They got to have their moments of offense with the big stars in the company, including the Universal Champion. So you know, that was all good. But there really isn't anywhere to go with it right now because, as you said before, there are no other strong teams, and they're not going to be in the title picture right now, and they're not going to keep feuding with the Shield as well. So they're kind of a weird place. It's like, next week they got to go back to essentially squashing jobbers just to stay on the show because there's no one really, because for reasons I'm not sure of. Rude and Gable are still stuck feuding with the Ascension. Connor got an inexplicable victory over Chad Gable this week that I have no idea what the hell they were thinking about that at all. Horrible move to make. This Rude Gable team seemed to be getting over, and it's really just started, and it was just a singles match. Gable lost pretty decisively. There is no upside to the Ascension. Maybe if you like one of them, if they like one of them more than the other, they can separate them and repackage them, or repackage the one that they like. But as the Ascension, there is no upside. There was no reason.
They definitely seem like they're sticking to their guns with the Ascension angle because Connor still delivered a very wasteland style inset promo, which was equally strange about Raw. I'm like, huh? What? Really? Connor's getting a promo? That was certainly somewhat unexpected on my behalf. Again, I guess that tag division in general is just kind of a mess. Like you said, it seemed like they were getting behind Gable and Rude, but there is just no reason for that loss. Like, the Ascension is not going to be viewed, like you were saying, as, like, a real threat. Why give him that singles win? And I mean, every time, it's every time I watch Gable, I'm just like, I question myself and I'm like, am I missing something here? Like, I don't get it. This guy wrestles awesome. And I really like his enthusiasm and his promos and everything. It's one of those ones where I really don't understand why they don't seem to have more faith in him than they do.
His height, I guess. That's kind of the only thing you hold against him. I don't think that at this point that should be. He's so good. He's so talented. He's got a lot of charisma. I don't get it. This thing with him and Rude was starting to get over, and I mean, I'm sure they'll team up and beat the Ascension next week, but it lost something. There was no need for it.
I guess I'm trying to think of what is going on with the ladies of Raw. I do know that they have a bunch of interesting teams forming on their own behalf there on Raw. I did not expect Ember Moon and Nia Jax to be besties anytime soon, but here we are.
Yeah, they do seem to be doing more with women in tag teams heading into Evolution and the off-rumored potential for women's tag team championships, however that will work, you know, cross brands. Yeah, no, they're definitely doing more with what it seems. You know, Mickie James and Alicia Fox together as a team with Alexa Bliss on the outside, as Alexa Bliss is recovering from some kind of an injury that hopefully will not keep her out for too long, but in the meantime, she is at ringside with Mickie and Alicia Fox.
That's one of those ones where I always assume that if the WWE doesn't formally say something about an injury length, it's not going to be that long.
Right, yeah, I think that with both her and Sasha Banks, I think that they're maybe more being cautious about them, you know, and keeping them out for right now, because you really don't want them out for Evolution. You don't want your... You're already spreading your entire women's roster and your alumni legends women's roster by doing this show in the first place. You do not want two of your top women on the shelf for it, especially one who's already been announced for a relatively big match. So, yeah, I don't blame them for if there's minor injury issues for them for being cautious about stuff right now. When neither are really in the plans for the, you know, the build up, at least in the Super Showdown.
Right. And I guess I don't even know how I could talk about the ladies without talking about what gained the ire of much of the internet on Monday evening.
Oh my God. Liv Morgan got knocked the fuck out. Oh, man. Oh, that looked brutal. I mean, mistakes happen. They happen a lot. I mean, if you're going to get mad at Brie Bella, you need to get mad at Seth Rollins for breaking Sting's neck. You need to get mad at Samoa Joe for nearly killing Tyson Kidd. In any of those situations, you know, the people doing the move deserve some part of the blame. Bree was firing those kicks off so fast, and
That's where I do think that it was a little bit of a combination. Bree started kicking quicker with a quicker pace because she kept on pointing and then kicking. And then for those last two kicks, she just went for it. And Liv Morgan slumped down a little bit more and into those kicks. And yeah, that
she might have caught something in the chops or something, you know, and then doubled over, or she was on her way down from one kick and then got hit with the other one right in the head. I mean, it was pretty brutal. I mean,
there's no mince.
It was really brutal.
Yeah,
where it got worse was the aftermath. The referee seemed to be completely out to lunch. He did not take control of that situation at all until, you know, there was an attempted cover. Liv Morgan, who was completely out of it, still somehow figured out she needed to raise up her shoulder and kick out. And then Bree grabbed her by her head and her hair to get her into the corner, then where she just kind of slumped down and fell. It was not a good day for anybody after that.
I can say that I have, and it was the dumbest thing too, and I've probably talked about it before on the show, but I had a concussion once, and it was while I was playing softball. But I ended up functioning for the rest of the game. Like, I played, like, 5 or 6 innings on a concussion. I don't remember any of this. I was told about this later by people that were there. And yeah, you can do that kind of stuff without remembering it. And I would imagine that Liv Morgan's going to be in that category. And they also kind of mentioned that sometimes they don't think anything's wrong. And I remember saying that to my wife. I'm like, man, I don't know why, but I feel like I keep on saying the same thing over and over again. And then I'd forget it, and I'd say that over and over again. Like, the same thing that I kept on saying, I just kind of kept on repeating. Oof, man, that got ugly. But sometimes you don't necessarily acknowledge it when it first happens. And I would hope that the referee would catch something like that. But he did not. And if people just have bad days, I'm really glad of all things that Ruby Riott and Sarah Logan talked some sense into her during the commercial break, though, that ensued soon thereafter.
I think they did well there. I mean, remember, also, Liv was allowed to go back in to do that triple suplex. Well, I have no idea what the doctor or the referee was thinking of that one at all. Why the word didn't come from the back to just say that whole thing.
Right.
I don't know either. It was definitely good. The aftermath is really where, you know, there's a lot of fault to go around with what happened to her, and hopefully it did not make her situation worse, as she has been officially diagnosed with a concussion. She's someone who had she's a pretty, integral part of, of Super Showdown coming up. They got the 6-man tag that involved Ronda Rousey. Big stadium show. Hopefully she is able to pass her impact testing and make that trip. Once again, that's all a very long trip as well. She's still, dealing with head issues and headaches and things of that nature. So hopefully she'll be able to, make a really quick recovery. Otherwise, I guess they will have to find something of a replacement for it.
The Riott Squad had kind of been getting into gear, I think, somewhat recently, despite some shenanigans that just border on way too lame all the time. I think everyone was starting to kind of find their way, because Morgan has not been a saint in the ring herself. But has really started to improve in that department.
Yeah, honestly, she's really good. Her selling has her bumping and her selling are really good. Unfortunately, she was not only selling last night.
Oh right, and Sarah Logan had that because they had just started going somewhere, and Ruby Riott had that. Somewhat short-term entry that made things kind of tricky for them.
Right.
Hopefully it's a short-term thing and doesn't bother her too much. Is there anything else? Because it is kind of funny, at least with the women, there isn't much to talk about with Ronda Rousey at the current moment.
No. She was on the show. They held her off for a week. She'll be back on the show next week. She advertised for a singles match with Ruby Riott. Once again, interesting that this is going to be her third match on Raw. Definitely, Ronda wrestling is definitely becoming a regular thing. Certainly not anything, just the idea of her wrestling is not anything special anymore. Which I guess how she wants it. She wants to wrestle, and you know, once again, and she's been a natural at it so far. So once again, so no. It's a good thing. I think that once again that they'll do the match with Rousey and Riot, which I can't imagine will have a finish, because that would just be kind of silly to have, because obviously Ronda's not losing, so then you have to have Ruby Riot tap out before the match at Super Showdown, so that doesn't. So I'm assuming we're going to get some kind of a disqualification finish when everyone runs in.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. Is there anything else from Raw to cover before we hit the old dusty trail?
No, I think we're pretty good here. I think we hit all the key points just fine.
Okie dokie. Well, at DeFrango11, at Chris Calamita, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you may listen to us. Bell Time beer of the show, Stunt Granny Brewing Double Team. I have like 3/4 of a case downstairs, plus possibly a couple of larger bottles. I am going to be drinking a lot of this in short order. So, with that, grandkids, I bid you adieu.
Later.